Welcome to the Hairdryer Treatment Podcast, powered by Kevin Grogan Soccer, Soccer Coffee, and much more. Welcome to the show this week. We're delighted to have an interview with Shannon Snaiman. After our break, Shannon is the Executive Director of America Scores New York, which is a 501c3 non-for-profit that does after-schools programs through soccer and poetry. A really, really interesting interview about her playing career and now her job with America Scores. So after the break, we'll have an interview with Shannon. The Hairdryer Treatment Podcast is proudly sponsored by Rezl. Rezl is the market-leading, academically validated VR training and cognitive development tool for elite football and is already installed at world-leading clubs. Rezl.com. Shannon, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hey, Kevin. Good. How are you?
I'm good. I really appreciate you coming on. I know you're very busy. So why don't you start by telling everyone where you grew up and kind of your first memories of soccer?
Yeah, sure. I grew up for the most part in Minnesota, in St. Paul. Although my first soccer days were actually out east, out here in New Jersey. When I was really young, 3-4 years old, I played out here on my brother's team. And then we moved back to Minnesota when I was about 5. And unfortunately, I didn't get to continue playing with him after that, but he was one of my first teammates.
So you obviously went on to play like at a really high level. But when you were a kid kind of first starting to play, did you realize you were talented or was it just something you loved to do?
I think a bit of both. I really loved it. Soccer for me and being part of the team. I was also an ice hockey player. So both of those sports at a young age were two sports that I absolutely loved. And two sports where really I made my best friends. I grew up with a lot of siblings. So we also played a lot of unstructured hockey, soccer, football, everything, you name it. So it was a huge part of my enjoyment as a kid. And I think probably in middle school, I started to feel like, I was one of the higher performers and started really thinking seriously about playing at a more competitive level.
Yeah, so just two things there. I have it in my notes to actually ask you about your ice hockey playing days, because what an amazing sport. Obviously, hand-eye coordination needs to be good, but you're also skating on ice. It's an amazing talent. So how did you first get into that?
Well, I think coming from Minnesota, it's kind of in your blood.
Okay.
It's very much a pickup style sport in Minnesota as well as an organized sport. But there's ice hockey rinks during the winter, which is, sometimes more than half the year, at every park. So it's a very common sport to play. And, I really enjoyed skating. We had a rink in our backyard. Actually, my dad flooded the entire backyard every winter, so we started skating at a really young age. It was a blast.
And is that a case of you have to get all the equipment, obviously the skates and the puck and the hockey stick, but were you padded up?
Like the casual playing, we never did that. We had skates and maybe gloves and a stick. For the organized sport, we needed all the equipment. I think from that perspective, ice hockey can be a difficult sport to play. I don't think I ever used new equipment until high school, to be honest. So there's definitely a culture of used equipment stores and hand-me-downs that we took full advantage of.
Yeah, I mean, hand-me-downs were a big thing for me growing up. Like, I always had my brother's cleats or my brother's old kit, and it's probably something that's lost a bit now in the culture. But so that's very interesting. Now, you talked about kind of playing hockey and soccer in an unstructured environment. Is that something we're missing these days? I talk a lot about the lack of street soccer in terms of development of players. Are we missing that a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think with there's a lot more indoor activities now as well, especially for, especially in places like New York City where a lot of safe outdoor space, where kids can just go out and play in an unstructured way, even in the parks. Even if you live near a park, it can be quite unsafe at times. And so it is, I don't blame parents for wanting kids to be inside, but I do think that's taken away for some of the unstructured playtime, certainly.
Yeah, it's probably a big safety issue. So you obviously went on then, you studied maths and economics, I believe, in Northwestern University. I mean, so far it sounds like you're extremely talented at a lot of things. What was studying maths and economics like? Something that would be very foreign to me.
I always loved math, and I'm a huge nerd at heart. So that was something that I was just very interested in through high school, and I wanted to pursue it. And once I started, I was studying math seriously at North. I went to Northwestern for soccer, which I was very, very lucky to be able to have an intersection of a very competitive program in the Big Ten, but also an amazing school academically, and incredibly diverse and international school as well. And so, math was purely a passion. I didn't know what I would do with it, and once I got into it, realized that economics was a bit more useful for the real world. And since I didn't want to teach or be a professor, kind of shifted my focus to economics, which ultimately led me to explore a career in finance for a little bit. So all of that, I think, has been very helpful in just figuring out how businesses work and how the economy works and how the world works. But yeah, that's kind of the journey that I took.
And you mentioned there the Big Ten. Now, the Americans would understand what that is, but for the listeners back in Europe, in Ireland and England particularly, what exactly is the Big Ten?
The Big Ten is one of the premier conferences in the United States for most sports, Division One, so top division. And it's actually made up of largely schools in the Midwest that are larger, much larger public universities, state universities. And Northwestern was a unique member of the Big Ten, still is, where we're a private, smaller institution. And so historically, we haven't been as competitive in the major sports categories. But there are, I think there have been some really exciting years for Northwestern, but we're not known for being kind of the Big Ten powerhouse.
Yeah, and then obviously you were studying your maths and economics. You were playing soccer at a really, really high level. I've asked a lot of people this, but how did you find that balancing the kind of study, playing, social? Was that something that you took in your stride?
Yes, and I think that had been part of me through high school, and then into college. Certainly became more challenging at Northwestern, but I love that balance of school, friends, soccer. I think I carry that with me still today.
Yeah, it's a hard task to kind of juggle it, but I'm sure it stands you in good stead for kind of learning how to get into the real world afterwards. Now you went on, you played in, I believe, Finland in the professional league over there. Now, what was that experience and the standard like? Was it a step up or was it similar to the standard you were used to playing in America?
At that time, it was very team dependent. There were some really high quality players and teams, Finnish national team players playing in the league, and a couple, there weren't too many foreign players and only a few Americans at the time. I think there are many more Americans that play over there now, but it was viewed as a step to one of the higher leagues, like in Sweden. So it was good quality for sure, but I think the talent was not evenly distributed over there at that time.
Yeah, and of course, America's kind of so has such high level players on the women's side already. Was it something where you obviously got to meet a lot of different people from different cultures? Was that something you enjoyed?
Yeah, I spent most of my time with Finns actually, and they were incredible, just great hosts, wonderful, wonderful people. There's certainly some parallels actually to where I grew up in Minnesota, being a state that historically has had a large Scandinavian influence. It
Yeah.
was a blast. It was incredible to be able to, play soccer as my main focus in a new culture, and learning about those things and doing a bit of traveling.
And I suppose that's one of the great things about sport and soccer, that you get to travel and you get to meet people all over the world, and different things like that. Now, just on a side note, I researched that we actually have something in common. One of our favorite movies is very similar. I believe you love The Goonies.
I love
Yeah,
the Goonies.
don't mean to embarrass you, but it's one of my favorite movies also. Is that something you
Good
watched growing
choice.
up, obviously?
Yeah, definitely with my siblings.
Yeah, classic movie. So we move into kind of more recent times. I know you worked in finance, and now you're with America Scores, which is just an amazing organization, non-for-profit, 501c3, I believe. And you do after-schools programs through soccer and poetry, correct?
Yes, that's correct.
And I mean, I've seen it firsthand. I've done a bit of work with you, and it's been amazing. You have a great crew of people with you. How do you find kind of what kind of influence you find you have on these kids, and what's your kind of goal through what you're doing with America Scores?
Yeah, my very basic goal would be to provide access to the sport that I grew up loving and which took me to places, I wouldn't have been possible otherwise, paid for my school and ultimately led to where I am now. So providing that access for students in a city like New York, where, as I mentioned earlier, it is really hard to play sports, even cost aside, where our program is free, and that's part of our mission, is that we believe that sports should not always be pay to play for families that can't afford it. So it's a free sport, but we're also providing all the logistics needed, transporting kids to fields and back to school, all the equipment and everything that can make it really difficult for children to access. And for me, I was very passionate about soccer. I think there's programs that are doing this similar kind of work with all sorts of sports, and the goal would be for us to reach as many kids as possible, but also for kids to have the option to play multiple sports. I got to play two sports in a very serious way, all through high school, which both were equally important to my development. And I think that the more sports that we can provide for kids, the better. I think there's lots of work and studies around how multi-sport athletes are better athletes in general.
Now, you obviously do the soccer and the poetry. How did it come about that those two things kind of started in America Scores? It's amazing that they're so different, but I've seen firsthand the dynamic, and it's brilliant.
Yeah, it came out of a passion of a teacher who had happened to love both, and she had started playing soccer with her students. And on bad weather days, she didn't want to send them home, so she would bring them inside, and thought that poetry was a good way to do a kind of a fun activity with them indoors. It served to be somewhat therapeutic and just provides another platform for students to express themselves, get to know one another better, create a really safe space to talk about any issues that they have, and be there with the guidance of their coach, whom they trust, and can help them through various things. So soccer can, I think the team sport can provide those opportunities, but we kind of make it even more intentional by bringing them, to an indoor space that's quiet and an opportunity to write and to speak, where they wouldn't otherwise get that opportunity through, the hectic school day and then straight to soccer practice and straight home. So just providing that additional space and time, to express themselves is really important, we think.
Yeah, and I mean, you talked earlier about kind of, the kids not paying for this service, and it is a pay to play culture over here in general at travel soccer level and the so-called elite youth level. How big an issue is that in terms of kids not getting the right opportunities to play sport?
Yeah, I think it's a huge issue, and it's long-standing and goes pretty deep. So, I don't know if there's an easy fix, but we'll do our part to make the introduction to soccer, as to as many kids as we can. And then I think the key part of this is, when we do, I think, thinking about it from like a national team perspective and kind of the more elite playing opportunities, we're opening the door, right, at the level that we have. So we're a school-based program and introducing the sport of soccer to kids. we need to then make sure we have strong partnerships when kids want to pursue it further than what we're able to offer them. Who can we connect them with? What teams can we get them on and allow them to continue to develop at the higher level?
Yeah, that's fantastic. And now you're obviously running the New York office, but it is a national organization, correct? There's multiple offices around America.
Yep, that's right. We have 12 affiliates around the United States and in Canada, so technically we are international.
That's amazing. And it started in New York and then built from there, or?
It actually started in Washington, D.C., which is
Okay.
still the largest America Scores affiliate, and New York started just a few years after D.C.
Yeah, that's amazing. And as I said, I've done some work with you. I've seen firsthand kind of your staff and the energy. I know, obviously, John and Zach and Chloe, there's an amazing dynamic between all of yous in that office. Is that something that was natural or something you nurtured or?
Yeah, I think we have a pretty small staff, so I think we're very intentional about who we hire, and the main kind of the common denominator is a really strong passion for children and for developing youth, using the sport of soccer and using creative expression. And so with that as a baseline, we have these amazing individuals who have come to work for us, and I'm definitely feel lucky to have the group that I do.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And now for just, for young people who are passionate, say, about soccer, and maybe they come from a background where they don't have the money to go into the pay to play, what kind of advice would you give them? Is it a case of seeking organizations like yourselves or talking to schools where they do after schools programs and trying to get involved in that way?
Yeah, definitely talking to the after school program about introducing the sport of soccer, because to be honest, it's a pretty easy sport to introduce. It's a pretty easy sport to coach, and you need pretty minimal equipment. Most schools will already have cones and things like that, and maybe you just need a couple soccer balls. So I would certainly encourage folks to talk to the after school providers within their schools, and give us a call as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Now, just to kind of wrap up, because I know you're really busy, but the Women's World Cup is coming up. It's such a massive event. Do you have a favorite? Who do you think? Do you think America have a great chance? Obviously, they're one of the best teams.
Oh yeah, I have to root for the US. I think the group they have is very exciting. Some new dynamic players, as well as, very strong legacy players who are still strong leaders on the team, and just the personalities and the way that they've, I think that they've done a great job leading up to the Women's World Cup, and obviously with the games that they've had, but also the marketing they've done, and just allowing us, the fans, to get to know each of the players' personalities a bit better. So I think it's going to be a really exciting tournament.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the biggest Women's World Cup yet, really. And I talked last week to Salma Treek about the issues with kind of, payment, the difference in men's payment and professional soccer and women's. There's such a gap there. It's a big issue. Do you think that gap will be bridged sooner rather than later?
I wish I could say yes, but I don't know. I'm tr you know, there has to be some kind of there has to be strong leadership at the top who's willing to take that risk. And from my perspective, I'm not sure who's gonna do that. And I think there have been other countries that have made some strong moves. I don't know if we're quite there yet, but I'm hopeful. That would be great.
Yeah, because as I was saying last week, there's absolutely no difference in the standard or the talent. There's just as much talent in both kind of genders. But Shannon, it's been amazing talking to you, and I really mean it. You do an amazing job, Ollie, in America Scores, and it was an absolute privilege to go in once or twice and help out.
Yeah.
And I look forward to seeing you soon. Thanks for coming on the show.
We'll have you back anytime, Kevin. Thanks so
Appreciate
much.
this. Thanks, Shannon. Bye.
Okay, bye.
The Hairdryer Treatment Podcast is proudly sponsored by Rezl. Rezl is the market-leading, academically validated VR training and cognitive development tool for elite football and is already installed at world-leading clubs. Rezl.com.